We all have this problem to some degree. And it's my problem as I think about preaching on a text you've all heard a million times. Because I need to get you to actually hear it. And you could probably repeat it. In fact, Charlie Brown, you know, if you've watched the Charlie Brown special, Linus says it from memory, and most of us can say it from memory too, but it doesn't mean we're still listening to what the gospel writer Luke wants us to hear in the message he's written. So now I'm going to read it, and this morning we're going to try to hear it. I'm reading from Luke, the second chapter, starting at verse 8, finishing at verse 20 in the NIV. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That is the word of the Lord. And this morning, we will go through it and try to hear it again fresh. What is this text about? What is Luke trying to tell us? Well, oh, thanks, gentlemen. The text is about messengers. When you read the English, angel, you think, you know, tell me, in the English, what is an angel? It's a heavenly being, right? That's what it is in the English. What is it in the Greek? Angelos. A messenger. Someone who sent with a message. Kings had messengers. They called heralds. That they would send. Now, you remember, about 2% of the population is literate, so you can't do message by email or mail or even courier. Written messages are not very effective in the ancient world. So you send out someone, a herald, to declare, to speak the message. An angelos from the king. This angelos is from the king of the universe, right? From the king's court comes a message from a herald. A messenger. This text is about messengers. This text is about messages. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Now, Luke loves this word, good news, gospel. In the Greek, do you know what it is? Euangelizo. Euangelizo. So, you've heard of euphoric? It's a Greek prefix. It means incredibly happy. Euphoric. Angelizo. You see that in the name angelos, right? It's message. Angelizo is the euphoric message, the euphoric news. Luke loves this word. Euan angelizo, the euphoric message. So this text is about a message. And the first gospel proclaimer is an angel, but only a couple of shepherds or a few shepherds, I don't know how many shepherds, get the angel. Everybody else gets a shepherd. You notice that? There's a message in that. everybody wants their messenger to be an angel, but you get a shepherd. And shepherds, as will be taught in churches across America this weekend, shepherds were one of the lowliest position you could be. In other words, if the Lord was looking for someone to send an angel to, and somebody of low status, it'd be like the busboys got the news. The maids at the hotel, they got the news. Now notice, the news does not come to the rich and the powerful. It doesn't come to the king's court on earth. It doesn't come to the universities. The message doesn't come to the religious establishment or the theologians. The message comes to the shepherds. Because it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And this is what you get too. You're in a Seventh-day Adventist church. On Christmas Eve, you don't even get an ordained Seventh-day Adventist pastor this morning. You get an over-the-hill, broken-down, past-his-prime collection lawyer. That's what you get. But it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And the message is incredibly important. Paul writes this, I thought of this as I was going through this text today, in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. The message is incredibly important. You should always pay attention to what the message is. Messenger doesn't matter. Paul says if that same angel that proclaimed to the shepherds comes down on our stage and preaches to you and preaches a gospel different than the one you originally heard, pick him up by his ethereal pants, throw him out. The message matters. The messenger doesn't matter at all. That's part of what's in this text. And it's about hearing. It's about hearing. Oh, tell me this will work. Oh, I got to point it there, don't I? Oh. I love these words because the listener that we are supposed to model is that of Mary herself. And what does Mary do? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's the listener we're supposed to be like. She remembered the message of the shepherds and what they say, and she treasured it. And the word for pondered is this great Greek word that I can really relate to. It means to hold a committee meeting in your own head, right? And to discuss it up here, the committee meets. That's the Greek word translated there, pondered. And Mary pondered these events. There were these angels, and the shepherds, they talked about these angels, and the angels said this, and she keeps that memory alive and treasures it. She heard it. Now, what is the message? We haven't talked about the substance of the message. What is the substance of the message of the angels? Do I have that slide? Well, it's free. I've got to do that. What is the message? Anyone? It's the good news? It's the euangelizo? What is the euangelizo in this text? The euangelizo is, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That's the message. I've gotten ahead of my notes. Let's go back to those shepherds. They were terrified. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, part of what Luke is saying is that the glory of God is terrifying to us. This is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. Adam and Eve fell, and after they fell, God came down to visit them. And what did they do? They ran away, and they hid because they were afraid. Moses wants to see the glory of God. So he asks God, God, let me see your glory. And God says, I can't, it would kill you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. And I'm going to let my glory pass by, and then I'll pull my hand and you could see my backside. Isaiah is taken up to the very throne room in the presence of God in all of his glory. And what does he react to the glory of God? I am undone. I am undone. I'm completely undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I come from a people of unclean lips and I have seen the God of the universe in all his glory. John the Apostle, on an island in Patmos, is visited by a friend, Jesus. And when Jesus comes there in all of his glory, what does John do? I fall down as though I were dead. Okay? The glory of God would overwhelm us. And so the shepherds are sore afraid. That's from the Old Testament, the text in the King James Version. And it's in our hymns, this theology. Mild he laid his glory by. The writer of that hymn is telling us that Jesus came as a baby without his glory. Because he loved us, he had to make himself safe. And then the angel's good news. The angel said this, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. That's the good news. So what is the good news today? Luke loves that word. He uses it all the time. Today, the fierce urgency of now, right now, today. God's Messiah, God's anointed one. Messiah means anointed one, God's chosen one. From the line of David, is born today. That's the good news. The line of David, why does this get put in? You know, there's a prophecy. And that prophecy is found in Samuel, 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And this is the prophecy that comes to the prophet Daniel during the reign of David. David is well away, you know, along in his reign at this point. There's probably less years in front of him than he has behind him at this point in his reign. And the prophet Daniel, Nathan comes to David and says this, now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from the tending the flock, and I appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on the earth. And we still know about King David. And Julius Caesar, he is in there with the great names who've ever lived. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. You read this prophecy at the time of Mary and Joseph, and there hasn't even been a royal house of David in the land for 600 years. What is this idea that David's His reign will endure forever? We know that human kings do not last forever. How is that prophecy going to be fulfilled? It's going to be fulfilled with the birth of a baby who will have, he will be of the line of David. He will be the Messiah. You know, David was an anointed one. He was the first Messiah. Or Saul was anointed too. Anyway, David was a Messiah, but he points to the Messiah, the anointed one. And then this Messiah, this king, this one of the royal house of David has something very unique about him that Luke tells us. And the unique thing about him is he is the Lord. The Lord. Oops. Let's go back. He is the Lord. Kyrios, the Greek word Kyrios. Now that word is the word used for the God Yahweh in the Old Testament in the Septuagint. There was a gathering of 70 scholars, Hebrew scholars, because the Jews could no longer read their own book. They had lost knowledge of the Hebrew language mostly. They spoke Aramaic and Greek and so forth. And so scholars translated the Old Testament into Greek. And when the word Yahweh, that sacred name that you're not supposed to pronounce, the name that God gave for himself from the burning bush, appeared in the book, what was the Greek word the Septuagint translators would choose? Kyrios. So when Luke takes that word straight out of the translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, Kyrios, Lord, Yahweh, and puts it here, he is telling his readers that the God of the burning bush has been born as a baby. The God who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden has been born as a baby. The God who was with the prophets has been born as a baby. Kyrios, the Lord. And so you have everything aligned. The anointed one, the Messiah, the line of David, the God, the creator God, the God of the burning bush, the God of the pillar of fire, the God of the pillar of cloud that led the children through the wilderness. That person is now a baby in a manger. And then this message. How many of you know this phrase from the King James? Tell me, go ahead, Sarah, blurt it out to me. Glory to God. And on earth, okay, now under the King James, peace, goodwill to all men. What's happened in the NIV here? Glory to God on the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. So under the King James, this was good news for everybody. And under the NIV, this brings peace, but only to those who have the favor of God. How do you feel about that? So let me tell you what happened here. The translators who did the King James did a fabulous job, but they had one Greek manuscript for Luke for this translation. What happened in later scholarship was they found 7 or 8 or 9 early manuscripts. And what they found was a Scrivener's error right here in this portion of Luke. You see, it is good news for all people, but only some people get peace. Only some people get peace. The good news is proclaimed, and it is good news. And it is such good news that some people will make a peace treaty with God. But not everybody makes a peace treaty with God. Not peace doesn't come on everyone. Peace only comes on those on whom his favor rests. Now that's an idea that I tried to talk about last time I was with you and we did communion. And that is this. The natural state of man, original sin, the natural state of man is hostility toward God. We don't trust God. That is where our natural state is. We're at war with God because we do not trust him. That's why we're afraid of him. That's why we can't see him in all of his glory. And it is only those that trust, that make peace with God, that get that peace. Let me explain it further. We have to go back to the original story in the garden. Adam was created sinless and perfect. And he had a face-to-face relationship with God, and God notes that it's not good for the man to be alone. Remember that part of the text? Read it. It's not good for Adam to be alone. We all agree on that. All right, now I got some work for you today, Adam. We're going to name the animals. What? Yeah, we're going to name the animals. but it's not good for you to be alone. And so Adam has to go through the experience of unmet human need, even in his state of perfection. And then the Lord makes the woman. Okay? Now what happens? Eve falls. Eve is deceived. She is tricked and she falls. And now there's a question before Adam. This woman that completes you, this woman that's so good for you, this companion, she has fallen. Are you going to eat the apple and join her? Or are you going to trust God and that God will do the right thing here? And he eats the apple because he's got to look for out for his own happiness. He can't trust God to make you happy. You've got to make you got to take care of yourself. And this is the lie that entered the human heart, and this is why we don't trust. Because all of us at some level has bought into the lie that I must look out for me and meet my own happiness needs because God won't look out for me. That's the lie. That's the problem. The people who make peace are the ones who turn against that lie and say, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust him with my happiness. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to do his will. And those are the people that have peace. And the problem is that churches across America, well, America, our society is filled with two kinds of people. Those who don't obey God's law because they think that breaking God's law will make them happy. And our churches are also filled with people who obey God's law as a strategy for looking out for themselves. He's got all the power, and I know that about God, and so I'm going to follow his law, and then God owes me. That's the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son went on the road to try to find his own happiness and forget about God and his law. And the older son stayed at home and did exactly what dad wanted, but didn't trust God, didn't trust the father, right? Our churches are filled with people who are obeying God's law as a strategy to protect themselves against God's will because they still can't trust him. But some people have made peace. Those people have learned how to forgive because they're forgiven themselves. Those people have learned to be in God's will and accept God's will and what happens. And so they are out there. And that is the good news, because they teach us how to forgive, and they teach us how to let go, and they teach us how to love in the face of difficulties, how to turn with trust and love toward one another. And that's why our world is a little better than it would be otherwise. That's why this is good news for all people. This Christmas, I urge you to accept his peace. It's a peace treaty. The war's over. You're at peace with God because you are saved by grace and nothing more. You can lay down your bad deeds because they won't make you happy. And you can lay down your good deeds because they won't earn your salvation. Your salvation comes from a baby born this day in the city of David. He is the anointed one. He is the true king. He is Yahweh. He is the creator God who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He is the God in the burning bush. He is the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day who led his people through the desert wilderness. He is the Lord who, through the prophet Samuel, chose David to be king. He is the God of Elijah who brought fire on the altar. He is the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And now that we've heard the good news, let's do our best shepherd impersonation and go out and tell everybody. Because it's good news. Amen. Merry Christmas, church.